This morning's sermon text comes to us from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. Please pray with me. O Lord, as we come to engage with your word, may we have ears to listen and obey. Allow us to know that the Helper is present with us and that you speak to us through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, John chapter 14, 15 through 31. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keep them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? Jesus answered him, If anybody loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And he will come to him, and he will make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the word of the Lord. Now, last night on Christmas Eve, we focused on the incarnation, why God became man, and we agreed with Athanasius that God became man in order that man might become God, and God with a lowercase g. Less Ed Cummings, our stated clerk, calls me before the ministerial committee, which he did tease me about that before in a direct message on Facebook. But neither here nor there. The great benefit of the incarnation is that God is truly with us. And throughout our Advent series, I've really tried to stress that. And what I've done over the last couple of sermons is stressed Jesus as an individual and his mission. He is with us in his incarnation. And I haven't talked much about how we complete the story as the church. And that's what I'd like to focus on this morning. How does Jesus' mission continue? And I'm going to argue that it continues through the work of the Spirit, the Helper. That's why today's sermon is called The Helper. Now, this passage that we're engaging with this morning is very difficult to read, to be honest, because it's quite Trinitarian, and it's a little bit cryptic in its language. And you have to read it several times to really get it and really sink into your bones. That's kind of how John's gospel comes across to me. The first three gospels are very bottom-up approach, so to speak, and then John's gospel feels like it's really deep and it's reflective, and often it can be a little bit hard to grasp. But John is clear this morning that the Spirit equips us for ministry and empowers us. And Paul actually does the same thing as well. In Ephesians 1, chapter 3 through 14, or chapter verses 3 through 14. In that passage, it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that plan for redemption for the whole church before the world began. And last night we said this was not God's plan B. It was actually God's plan A. He planned this from all of eternity, that salvation would come through the cross and that the Spirit would be applied to our heart and that he would help us. God's church is universal, and the Lord, the good news of the gospel is to all who believe. As the church, as we complete Christ's story, we are said in Scripture to be the bride of Christ and the light of the world. So the question this morning is, how does this mission continue if Jesus ascended to God the Father's right hand? And again, it's through the work of the Spirit. So I have a question for you today as we read this passage, and it's kind of a trick question. When I read that passage, who is the you referencing? Is it singular or is it plural? So think about it for a second. If you grew up on the King James, you might have cheated a little bit because it actually solves the answer. The you in the passage is actually plural, and it's unfortunate in modern English that you, singular and plural, you have to discern based on context. But we're also an individualistic culture, so we tend to think it's always speaking to the individual. If you grew up in the South, second person plural for you is y'all. And it's weird to hear people say that sometimes, but when I lived in Texas, I started to even say it because it was just part of the culture. In Western Pennsylvania, there was a word, a Pittsburghese word called yins, if anybody's ever heard of this. It was stated my grandparents and great-grandparents used to use it, and it's kind of died out. Or again, if you grew up on the Old King James language, it would have used the word ye. It would be really helpful. But in that passage, Jesus is talking to the church collectively. And this shows up in other parts of Scripture as well. The locus of God's presence and his love being upon the people of God. And that's how it's mediated to the world. Let's just take the often quoted Matthew chapter 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Now Matthew, in that particular verse, I think, is saying that God's holy of holy, his presence, the Shekinah glory, if you want to use traditional language, where only the high priest could go into, that glory is pushed upon the people of God. When two or three are gathered in public worship or in Bible study or doing church things, that Shekinah glory rests upon them, God's presence that we've been talking about through Advent. Imagine if we let that truth sink deep down into our bones, how different worship would be perhaps in the life of the church. And perhaps we might complain less about our brothers and sisters in Christ because God's Shekinah glory rests upon the people of God. All this is done through the amazing ministry of the Helper in today's passage. Christ is truly present with his people. If you're wondering where the Lord is in this crazy world, often people use that language, I would respond, well, the Lord is present with the people of God. Now, to illustrate this and to think about it, and perhaps as we think about being on a church on mission as a collective group, and working with Phil over the past year and getting to know him, and perhaps you've heard him say this over the years, I heard him say a number of times, we experience the love of God through the church primarily. Has anybody heard him say this before? Okay, a lot of people have. Okay. I actually never had heard this before and thought about it. And he would actually qualify and state, well, of course we know that God loves us through Scripture, but in his opinion, it felt more abstract. God's love to be experienced is mediated through others. And he talked about that a lot through his experience over the past year. And as I've thought about him saying that, I've come to agree with him and digest over it. It's a really true statement. It's true because God's presence rests upon his people and he equips them for ministry. In Jesus' earthly ministry, he really wasn't that successful. He didn't gain any converts. It ended in crucifixion. Now, we know that that was God's plan from the beginning, but the church really doesn't start to grow until the book of Acts, and it's through the power of the Spirit. So the church completes Jesus' story. It's much like if you're a little boy or a little girl and your dad invited you to go to work with him, so to speak. I'm talking like a little, real small, and you're not equipped to do that job. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking of my dad when he invited me to do something with woodworking. I didn't feel equipped to do that as a little boy, but he nonetheless helped me think that I was helping, so to speak, or empowered me to help him. I think the same goes on with Christian ministry. We feel, as the people of God, ill-equipped to complete the story, to preach the gospel to all nations, but it is the Spirit, the Helper, that empowers us to do it. And God has done amazing work through the church from the beginning up until now, will continue to do great work. So in closing, I love these words about the promise of God's presence in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It states, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And this is the promise. "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It's my sincere prayer that here at Christ Presbyterian Church, the Lord's presence is upon us no matter where we go, and we recognize that. May we realize our mission that's placed before us and realize that the Helper is with us no matter where we go. And may we trust in the Lord and see his Helper do amazing thing in our midst in the year of 2023. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the season of Advent. We pray for the mission of this particular church, O Lord, that you would pour out an overabundance of your blessing upon us in the year of 2023. Just reading those words from Matthew's gospel, may we see children baptized, adults baptized, and may we see individuals grow deeper in their faith and trust in you as we are pilgrims on our way, awaiting for you to come back or to call us home. Lord, may we reflect on this Christmas day on the wonderful ministry of the Helper. May we know that you are with us no matter where we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.